It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With the summer heat a distant memory, plenty of free museums, and not a lot of travel time required, it's a great time to visit our nation's capital. Here with the lowdown on touring D.C. at this time of year is Elaine LaBalm, contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City. She also tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine LaBalm, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Hey, great. Always great to be here.
So I understand that you spent your Thanksgiving in the nation's capital. You're just back from there, and the fall calendar is filled with interesting possibilities. So what's at the top of your list?
You know, what I love about D.C., Paul, is that you can go back time and time again, and there are always some terrific traveling exhibits at the many museums. And as I'm guessing most of our listeners know, the 19 Smithsonian museums are all free. So it's a great deal for travelers. A couple of exhibits that we caught on this visit that we absolutely loved at the National Geographic Museum. Now, no sooner did I say the Smithsonian museums are free. This is actually a pay museum, but it's a terrific museum.
The National Geographic Museum,
yes. And they have an exhibit right now called Women of Vision, and it's the photography of 11 women photojournalists who have traveled for years to, you know, hot spots around the globe. You know, they've been to some of these photographers did long series in Yemen and Bhutan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and they covered, you know, topics from, you know, child brides to, you know, war injuries, just the stories of people around the world. And so it's a combination of their photos and the narrative to go along with it. And I mean, we spent a couple of hours at this exhibit. It was absolutely terrific. It's something you don't want to miss. It's there till the end of January. We also went to the Phillips Collection, which has an exhibit on some Van Gogh work right now. And as you can imagine, Van Gogh is, you know, forever popular. There were very long lines for this one. We did have tickets in advance. I would absolutely suggest that. But it's on his repetitions. And what a lot of people may not know is that he was very influenced by, oh gosh, folks including, you know, Rembrandt, Cezanne, Seurat. And what he did was he would riff off of their works to create his own pieces. And many times he'd do several iterations of a particular piece, say his famous one, The Postman. He's got, you know, five different versions of that, six versions, and they were all there side by side, and you can see the differences to them. His series on the plane trees as well. So it's a very interesting approach to his work, and I found that to be a fascinating exhibit as well. So those are the two that are probably at the top of my list right now. That one also through the end of January. So if you go, you know, anytime around the holidays or early next year, you can catch them both.
And I understand that there was one big surprise for you as well.
Listen to this. We wound up at probably the least traveled of the Smithsonian museums, the National Postal Museum. Well, I am not a stamp collector. I know. You're looking at me like you're rolling your eyes already.
I wasn't rolling my eyes. I'm wondering how or what you would do to stock a National Postal Museum.
You would be surprised. Let me tell you.
Please.
They have a brand new gallery called the William H. Gross Stamp Gallery. Brand new, totally interactive. I was stunned at how the history of stamps in so many ways mirrors the history of America. You can really go down through the centuries, and the story is told in stamps. And again, we were at this museum for a couple of hours, too. They also have a traveling exhibit called Fire and Ice, Hindenburg and Titanic. And what a lot of people don't know is that both of these vessels were authorized primarily as mail carriers. RMS Titanic, Royal Mail Service Titanic. The Hindenburg also carried a ton of mail. And so a very thorough accounting of what they did, not only on a mail aspect, but in general. I found a couple of telexes that were sent, original copies, from the Titanic to the other ship, Olympic, that was close by, saying, you know, we're in a little bit of distress here. Can you come on around? And, you know,
is that exactly how it was?
No, it wasn't like that, but it was a sentence very similar to that. In other words, they said, we're putting people in small boats. Maybe you can help. And I thought, yikes. But you could just sort of almost feel the tension in those telexes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then it also this huge sort of area on how the Postal Service does its work. You know, I did not expect to be impressed by this. I was kind of goaded by my son, let's go see what's over there. 2 hours later, we only did about half of the museum. Highly recommended.
All right, you had me at Hindenburg and Titanic.
So there you go.
That sounds interesting. Sticking with the Smithsonian Museums, which ones are a can't miss?
Okay, I'm going to give you three that really rose to the top for me this time around. At the Smithsonian Castle, the big red brick building, they have an exhibit right now called Souvenir Nation. And it speaks in a lot of really funny ways as to how we are collectors in this country. There's this whole thing with different hairs of presidents of the United States. You had to see it. It was pretty funny.
Wait a minute. Collections of their actual hair?
Well, yes.
Strands of presidential hair?
Yes. You know,
going how far back?
Oh, back to George Washington.
They had hair. They had George Washington's hair
they
there.
They did, and Adams and Jefferson. I mean, I think the first four presidents and many others. You know, I mean, your mom probably still has locks of your gorgeous baby hair when you were 3 years old.
Yes, lots of families do that.
I know, and you
so
know
this
what?
Is, so that's what they did with the president. So what did they, you know, did the presidents have to consent to this, or did they, like, when he was sitting at the desk in the Oval Office, somebody sneaks up behind him and snips the hair?
You see, now there is the gap in the exhibit. They did not address that, Paul, so I do not know. But they had this sort of this small kind of like, you know, case, a wooden case like that you'd put on top of a dresser or something. And all these like little cubicles saying, you know, this is so-and-so's hair. And you could see the strands right there.
What if it was like Eisenhower and he's bald? Then what?
I don't know. At this point, we're taking it a little too far. I don't know. So you got it. The other thing that they had that was really a hoot in this exhibit, they had the magnifying glass used to identify the hanging chads during the 2000 election recount. Yes.
Oh,
it's kind of like cheeky stuff like that
That's funny.
I absolutely love. So go check that out at the Smithsonian Castle. Another one, let's see, National Portrait Gallery has a really good exhibit right now called One Life, photographs of Martin Luther King's life. And, you know, MLK's getting a lot of play this year, 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. So that was a terrific exhibit. And then we went to the National Museum of American History, which is one of my favorites, cheekily referred to as America's Attic, and it really kind of is that. But they also have a traveling exhibit called Changing America. And what it does is it, in one side of the exhibit, they talk about the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. And on the other side of the exhibit, they look at the March on Washington in 1963. And they mirror both of these seminal events for African Americans in this country. And it's very, very well done. They've also redone the exhibit called American Stories, which is where you can go in and see Dorothy's ruby slippers and Muhammad Ali's boxing gloves and the chair where Archie Bunker sat.
Don't they have Don't they have like Mario Andretti's winning car from the Indy 500?
I believe you are right. But the thing about this exhibit, they've got so many cool things. For years, you had to snake through a line in all these rooms to get to be able to see everything. There was always a huge crowd. They upped the size of this thing like fivefold.
Oh, that's
so
good.
No more waiting around. You can just walk into these rooms at your leisure and see what you
want. Yeah, anybody, I guess, who hasn't been there in years is going to be surprised. Then,
very much so. It's terrifically redone.
Well, now, I know that you managed to find food, good food, wherever you go. And where are you sending us? I'm getting hungry.
Oh, let me tell you, I've got some goodies. A place called Matchbox, about a block from the Verizon Center in Penn Quarter. Thin crust pizzas, the ones you want to order. You want to order the spicy meatball pizza.
Sure.
And as well, prosciutto and black fig with arugula and honey. It just melts in your mouth.
On a pizza.
On a pizza. Okay. It was unbelievable.
All
so
right.
Matchbox. And another place, Teaism, which for years was just a little tea house, is now doing a much more expanded menu. I had this plate of Korean barbecue beef that just, it was so tender. The sauce was so amazing. At a tea house, mind you, with some fabulous little, you know, drizzled sweet potatoes. So good.
Also,
the chicken udon bowl, so good. Teaism. I actually went back the next day and ordered the same thing. Loved it so much.
Wow, sounds terrific.
There you go. And then an old favorite, Busboys and Poets. They've got three locations in D.C. right now. This is a place that does poetry readings, and it's a bookstore / cafe. Great place for Sunday brunch.
And you found a heck of a hotel deal, so clue us in on that.
Listen to this. This is still going on, I believe, through the end of the year. The Liaison Capitol Hill Hotel, which is maybe a block and a half from the U.S. Capitol, so great location, has a double queen room for $108 a night, 4-star property, absolutely terrific. They offer you free bikes so you can bike around the Capitol. Has a great restaurant right in the lobby, Art and Soul, Art Smith's Restaurant, Southern Fair. We actually had Thanksgiving dinner there. And, I mean, between the turkey and the corn and sausage stuffing, and the greens, and it was just an amazing meal. But I have had dinner at this restaurant several times over the years, and it's always really good food. And they have chocolate pecan pie. What's not to like?
Oh, my gosh. You're killing
me. I do spend all my time eating. You're right.
Well, good for you. All right, Elaine, we have about a minute left or so. And so Washington, D.C., it's a city that you return to probably more than any other.
Yep.
And what's great for us in Pittsburgh is it's not a terribly long drive.
4 hours door to door.
So what are the intangibles for you, that je ne sais quoi?
Well, you know, let me put it to you this way. I just like being there, surrounded by all of that history, those monuments. I always start a day in D.C. with a run from the U.S. Capitol to the Lincoln Memorial and back. It's a 5-mile run, and now my 12-year-old son has been running with me for about a year and a half. He runs with me. We started every morning that way. So to see the sun rise coming over the monuments, it's absolutely terrific. Then you stand on top of the steps in the Lincoln Memorial, and you look back across the reflecting pond and the monument and everything. It's hard to beat. It's probably my favorite place to run in America, and I've been running for a long time, as you know. So that and some of the lesser-known memorials, the FDR Memorial, Korean War Memorial, those are ones that don't get as much attention and are so moving, arguably more moving than some of the, you know, the better ones, better-known ones, Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln.
Sure, and those are some of the FDR's a newer one. The World War
yes.
II one is a newer one.
Yes, also terrific. So I invite people to seek out some of those lesser-known memorials and do go into the National Archives and look at the Declaration of Independence. That never gets old.
No, and neither do you. Elaine LaBaume, contributing editor for the E-Zine Pop City, joining us to talk about food and travel. And she talks about that under the Twitter handle, New Girl in Town. Thanks, New Girl.
You betcha.
And tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, nicknamed the Compassionate Businessman, Tom Wolf is a businessman from York County who hopes to become the state's next governor. He'll join us in Studio A. Also, the efforts to end street harassment come to Pittsburgh. Share your experiences with us. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.